Together, let us slowly and reverently, from our hearts, say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, deliver us from evil. The title, protection. The outline, number one, Lord, deliver us. Deliver us from the evil one and from our evil hearts. Number two, Lord, defend us. Defend us from our enemies, the enemies of the gospel. Number three, Lord, display us before all the angelic host. Perhaps you remember the story of the professor and the chauffeur. This professor would go around all over the world giving the same lecture day in, day out. Often he would be very tired. He said to his chauffeur, I'm really tired and exhausted today. I really wish I could do without this particular appointment today. The chauffeur stopped the car, looked into the mirror, and said, you know, Professor, I have heard you give this talk thousands of times. I could recite it word for word. Why don't you have a rest? Tell you what we'll do. I'll don your gowns, you put on my cap and jacket, and we'll swap places. After all, they don't know who you are. I'll recite this message as clear as you do. The place was packed out. The man stood in his red robes. He recited this professor's talk word for word in detail, received an enormous round of applause. Was about to step off the stage when a person in the audience put up their hand. Before you leave, I want to ask you a question. He asked a very difficult and technical question. He didn't know the answer. But he was quick in mind. That's the dumbest question I've ever heard asked, so dumb that my chauffeur sitting at the back there will be able to answer it easily. Would you come to the front, please? There are times, of course, in Christian ministry, and there are times in Christian communication when you wish there was someone else standing here giving the message. Let me tell you, after 40 years in the ministry, it has never, ever, ever been easy. Somebody said once to me, and I didn't believe it then, and I certainly don't believe it now, how long does it take you to prepare a sermon? The man said, just like that, 20 years and 20 minutes. Well, let me tell you, that is never the case with me. And when it comes to proclaiming the word, the burden of the subject weighs you down. And last week, we did in the Lord's Prayer. You remember? Lead us not into temptation. We looked at the reality of temptation because the devil is real. And temptation is real and common to all men. We looked at the root of temptation, the enemy of our souls, out to destroy us. We looked at resisting temptation in all of its practice so you and I can actually resist the devil. Today we come to this subject, deliver us from evil. Now, you young people, put up your hand, or anybody here who has seen the film Prince of Egypt. If you haven't, you should watch it with your son or your daughter or your grandson or granddaughter. You remember that Jochebed, remember her? The mother of Moses is weeping and lamenting and crying from Exodus 2, verse 23 to 25. And you remember how the song goes? Mud, sand, water, straw, faster. Mud and lift, sand and pull, water raise up, straw. Mud, sand, water, straw, faster, faster. Feel the sting of the whip on my shoulder with the salt of my sweat on my brow. Elohim Adonai, can you hear your people's cry? Help us now. Listen now. Deliver us. Hear our call. Deliver us. O our Lord, remember us in this burning sand. Deliver us. There is a land you promised us. Deliver us to the promised land. Deliver us, O Lord. We're in dire straits. As urgent and as passionate as that appeal to the Lord was, as memorable as that song is, it is nothing compared to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ teaching this pattern of prayer, when with every fiber of his being, he knew what it was to cry out, deliver us from evil, because the Bible says, on one occasion, sweating great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wanted that cup to be removed from him. He wanted to be delivered from evil. Not that he was evil, but the attacks of the evil one were fierce and ruthless and relentless. And so it will be with any man, woman, boy or girl here who is a sincere, genuine Christian. If you're not, this will not touch you. It will go through one ear. It will come out the next ear. You can go home and you have my permission to fall asleep. But D.L. Moody was right when he said, I didn't believe in the devil until I started to resist him. And the moment a man or woman comes to saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, they get out of their armchair of comfort, they get into the arena of conflict. And the enemy of our souls, relentlessly, day and night, would hound us, beat us, bombard us in all sorts of ways. And therefore, daily we should pray, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. 1 Peter and chapter 5. Remember, the Apostle Peter is writing to Christians who are scattered. He says this in 1 Peter 5, verse 6 to Christians. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. Then verse 8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. I read a true story about a man who lived with lions, who would feed lions, who would stroke lions. And then one day, taking risks with the lion, something provoked the lion, and the man who'd stroked the lion had been devoured by the lion. The enemy of our souls is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Are you a young Christian? Are you in the twilight of your years? Let me tell you, as young as you are, as old as you are, the enemy of our souls will not give in, will not give up. He will be chasing you down. He wants to rip you apart. He wants to damn you to hell. And if you doubt that, you're in for a rude awakening. So, Lord, deliver us from the evil one. We heard about him last week, the accuser, Beelzebub, the evil one, the liar, the murderer, the angel of light, the adversary, the dragon, the serpent, all these adjectives speaking clearly about the wicked and evil intent of the enemy of our souls. Lord, deliver us from the evil one. Protect us from the snares of the evil one, from the darts of the evil one. And protect us from the evil of our own hearts. When our Lord Jesus Christ was giving his teaching, he made it plain in Mark chapter 7, as he calls people to him. If you open your Bible at verse 14, and he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And then he says, verse 20, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Bible makes it plain that God does not look on the outward appearance. He looks upon the heart. He's already given the verdict of the natural man or the natural woman's heart. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus, the Son of God, he says, look what comes out of the man. All the hypocrisy, all the duplicity, all the adultery, all the immorality, all the anger, all the venom, all the hate, all the envy, all the jealousy. It comes from within because we're sinners by nature and by practice. And we need delivering from the evil within our hearts. No wonder David cried out, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me a right spirit." No wonder the prophet told us that you and I need to be clothed in the garments of righteousness to cover all of this ugliness. Lord, deliver us from the evil one. Lord, deliver us from our evil hearts. I don't know if any of you watch or read any Agony Aunt programs or books or leaflets or pamphlets. There was once a very famous agony aunt by the name of Abigail Van Buren. And she was a professional agony aunt. And she said, "Every day I receive a sackful of misery mail." Now imagine every day having to open mail which says the following. One, my husband is having an affair with another woman. Another one, my marriage is completely on the rocks. My problem is bet 365. I bet 365 days of every year that I live. My problem is I'm trying to discern whether I've got venereal disease or herpes or some other sexually transmitted disease. How can I know? Another one, I think my wife is an alcoholic. Another one, I'm 45, fat and fed up, and I don't know what to do about it. A more serious one, my father keeps beating my mother. An even more serious one, I'm terrified. Someone is bullying me and sexually abusing me, and I'm frightened. Another one, I think my son is on drugs. Another one, for the past 2 years I've been sleeping with my boyfriend. I've been taking the pill. I can't afford her anymore. I'd really like to talk to him about sharing this, but I don't know him well enough. And I'm frightened he won't like me if I put demands upon him. And there are worse. Just find out some of the tragedies that have happened just in 2019. Here are believers, 50 of them, bombed and gunned down, worshiping on a Sunday. Here's a school. Someone comes in with a machine gun, mows down the children. Every day, knife crime, hate crime, race crime. It's a horror story. Where does all this come from? It comes from the wickedness of the human heart. You and I are born not good, but with a bias to evil. That is for sure. Lord, deliver us. Deliver us from the evil one. And Lord, deliver us from the evil of our own hearts. By the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the power and fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Number two, Lord, defend us. Lord, defend us from our enemies. You know, if you turn to the book of Psalms over and over again, the psalmist David, he cries that prayer. He's the man after God's own heart. He hasn't done anything wrong as a teenage boy. And what happens is he tries to sing to Saul, the man who's really in a rage, burning with anger and jealousy. Why? Because he had been frightened to take on Goliath, and this young whippersnapper of a lad with a sling and some stones had come up to this 10-foot giant and said, I'm going for you. I'm going to have you in the name of the Lord. And down comes the giant, and off comes the head. And onto the shoulders of everyone in Israel goes David. And all the girls are singing about him. Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. And all the posters are up in Israel saying, hey, look, look how good this young man David is. His songs go to the top of the hit parade. It's amazing. And Saul gets jealous. He wants to pin him to the wall. He wants to kill him. So the next thing is he's running and hiding in a cave or in the wilderness or in a forest. And he's physically and mentally and emotionally exhausted. And he feels as if the bloodhounds are going to sniff him out. The bounty hunter's about to catch him. Soon he'll be clapped in irons, or soon he'll be hung, drawn, and quartered. So what does he pray? He starts to pray. Oh Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I put my trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let my enemies exult over me. Later on, Absalom, his own son, wants to kill him. Imagine that. There's a coup. There's a civil war. Oh, Lord, deliver me. Lord, defend me. Defend me from my enemies. Not just the Philistines, but enemies in the court of Saul and enemies in my own family. Enemies when I'm young and enemies when I'm old. Deliver me. Defend me from those enemies of mine. You remember when he wrote in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Because I'm praying for your protection. For he will hide me in his shelter, verse 5, in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. Deliver me from my enemies, just as you have promised. Okay, young folks, stay there in a minute. Let me speak to those of you with silver hair. We have a solemn responsibility to pray this prayer for our children, for our grandchildren, hopefully for our great-grandchildren. The Bible makes it plain as we enter the last days, wicked men will wax worse and worse. Don't you ever point the finger at these young people tripping and stumbling and falling. The temptations are right in your face. The enemy seems to be coming out as a flood. Isn't that true? It's true that today's extremes are tomorrow's norms. What's norm for these young people? We're extreme when we were young. What's going to happen in 10 years' time or 20 years' time if the Lord doesn't come? Defend us. Defend us from evil men, from evil regimes, from evil philosophies, from evil governments, from murderers and liars and thieves, adulterers, pornographers. Defend us from the enemies. Of course, we have biblical warrant for this, don't we? If you turn to 2 Chronicles in chapter 20, you've got that great story of Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat was king of Jerusalem a long, long time ago, when the people of Judah all worshipped the Lord from the high on down to the low. And Jehoshaphat finds himself surrounded by enemies, outnumbered. And he says in verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you a sanctuary for your name. If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear us. And listen to what he says, verse 12. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And pinning their eyes upon the Lord, then opening their mouths in praise to the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. His mercy endures forever and ever. And trusting in him, crying, praising, trusting, crying, defend us from our enemies. Then the enemies are vanquished. And we need intercessors today who will pray that the enemies of the gospel will be vanquished, that the triumph of the gospel will be widespread, so widespread that in our day, if it pleases the Lord, we will see a mighty turning to God. And we might see that day when the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Lord, defend us from our enemies. Number 3, Lord, display us before the angels. I had about 7 headings, but I thought 3 would do in the time that we'll have tonight, because this one encourages me the most. Lord, display us before your angels. You know, the book of Ephesians is an amazing book. It tells us about the wealth of every believer. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. When we get to chapter 2, we're told of grace which comes through faith. We're told that we are one in Christ. It is amazing. By the time we get to chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9 and 10, it is amazing what we're told here. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is amazing. The principalities and powers, all the angels and all the archangels, displayed before them is the great wisdom of the mystery of God in salvation, that God could love fallen sinners like me and you and elevate us above that of the brightest cherub and the holiest and sinless angels that fill the heavens. So that they're amazed and they're astonished at what the gospel has done in displaying sinful men, sinful women, washed in precious blood, clothed in glorious righteousness, higher than angels themselves. I mean, that's staggering. Turn over the page to the book of Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 21. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. One time we were alienated from God. We were hostile in our minds. We were living an evil way, doing evil deeds. He has now reconciled in the body of flesh by his death in order, listen to this, to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him. Now think about that. Am I the only one here who has to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, give me strength for this day? Because if you don't give me strength for this day, I'm going to be as weak as water. If you don't help me and lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to trip, stumble, and fall all the time. Am I the only one here who battles with temptation in the mind, temptation with the eyes, temptation with the ears, temptation with the mouth, temptation in the heart, temptation in your body? No, we need the help of our God. But here's the amazing truth. In Christ, as weak as water as we are, he is going to present us to the Holy One of heaven. We are going to be holy, blameless, above reproach before him. The one who has all eyes. The one who knows all things. The one we can't con. The one who knows the secret of our hearts. The one before whom there is no such thing as a secret sin only known to you. He's going to present us holy, blameless, above reproach before him. That's the magnitude of God's grace. No wonder if you turn now to the book of Jude, that's the next to last book in the Bible, we're told these words. But you, beloved, building up yourselves, verse 20, Jude verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Look what it says in verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Now listen, I'm a scouser, I'm a sinner. Sinner's my first name, sinner's my middle name, sinner's my last name. Okay, they're the facts of life. By the grace of God, I am what I am, by God's grace alone. But I tell you what, I have some struggles sometimes with the people who are always in the hallelujah corner. That's where they always are. And they say, I never have any problems with sin. I never have any problems with temptation. I never trip, stumble, or fall. I'm just full of the Holy Spirit. I'm climbing up Sunshine Mountain, faces all aglow. That's not my experience. My experience is sometimes lying on the floor, tears in my eyes, saying, Lord, deliver us. Lord, deliver me. But you know what it says here? One day, I'll have no more tears. It's exceeding joy. Because I'm blameless. Presented blameless. Isn't that magnificent news? Isn't it? Lord, deliver us. Please, from the evil one, from our evil hearts. Lord, defend us from the enemies around us. Lord, display us before the angels in heaven. I desperately wanted us to sing this song, but we're not. But you're going to hear it anyway. Not sung, but read. By Augustus Toplady. We'll learn it one day. A sovereign protector have I, unseen, yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles and my comforts abound. His grace as the dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the soul he delights to defend. Do you know that story about the man who works in a graveyard? He digs a grave. He leaves it. It's a grave which will take three coffins and a 6'5" man who's nice and broad. He goes to the pub at night. He has one too many. He starts to stagger home and it's teeming down with rain, thunder and lightning. He thinks to himself as he's getting sober, I'll take a shortcut. I'll go through the cemetery. He goes to the cemetery and he slips down the hole he's dug. And it's soaking wet and all of a sudden becomes sober straight away. He starts to try and climb up the side of this grave. But it's muddy. It's slipping. He's slipping this way and slipping that way. He's eventually cold and wet and totally and completely exhausted. He says, all I can do is pull up my collar, sit down, pick up my knees and pray. As he's praying, he falls asleep. And then there's another man who's trying to take another shortcut through the graveyard. And he slips down the same hole. And then he sort of half wakes up the man who went in first. He hears the man slapping around, trying to get up. And as he's sitting there, he says, you won't get up that way. And the man who was there jumps up and out of the grave. So frightened was he. He thought he'd heard someone from the dead speak to him. We don't need to hear someone from the dead speak to him in that way. We have someone who's risen from the dead who speaks to us. And listen to this. He is the inspirer and hearer of prayer. My shepherd and guardian of mine. My all to his covenant care. I sleeping and waking resign. If you are my shield and my sun, no night is darkness to me. As fast as my moments roll on, they bring me but nearer to thee. Kind author and ground of my hope. For you are my God, I avow. My glad Ebenezer I raise, and own that you've helped me till now. I think on the years that are past, where in my defense you have proved, nor will you relinquish at last a sinner so signally loved. In simple terms, he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He will hold us fast and present us spotless in the glory land, and you and I can be sure of that. Let's stand and sing.